names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Femi Abebefe.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
The great Iron Eagle.
Nick and Femi are such close friends. I would even consider getting divorced, even though I'm very happily married, just to get remarried, to have them as groomsmen. That's how much they mean to me.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT. And I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself. The kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
The magnificent Football Monday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the BetMGM Network. First hour of the show devoted some of the biggest games on Week 3 NFL Sunday, starting with the Eagles and their come-from-behind win over the LA Rams, and why I think the Eagles are the best bet on the board to win the Super Bowl, even at a short price, plus 700. We talked about the Packers' unacceptable loss in Cleveland against the Browns. The Bears busting their offensive slump against the Dallas Cowboys. And the Kansas City Chiefs getting off the schneid at the expense of my hapless, pathetic New York football Giants. And why I believe we will see Jackson Dart start next week for Big Blue as they welcome in Justin Herbert and the 3-0 Los Angeles Chargers. We're going to get to the Steelers' win over the New England Patriots and why I'm not as down on the Steelers as a lot of other people are. The Jaguars' win over the Houston Texans in a game that's an offensive football back to the Stone Ages. A pathetic performance by Michael Penix Jr. and the Atlanta Falcons. And speaking of those 3-0 Chargers, why I walked away from that game impressed with the Chargers and depressed about Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos. Sam Panayotovich joins us in 20 minutes, our BetMGM Network teammate, taking a spin around the world of sports betting after the weekend that was both in college and the NFL. Our bets for Monday Night Football will close the show. Baltimore holding steady as a 4.5-point home favorite against the Lions, the total sitting at 54. And speaking of BetMGM, account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and same-game parlays. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app and please gamble responsibly. And remember, subscribe to You Better You Bet in podcast form. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. You'll get all of my breakdown of Week 3 NFL Sunday, Femi's breakdown of Week 3 NFL Sunday. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcast and like and subscribe. And also like and subscribe to our YouTube page, youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. Femi will join me in a few moments and we'll break down the weekend of betting. I would just like to say first that I am sick of this. I'm sick of it. Yesterday, I reached my breaking point. I was furious at the end of the 4 o'clock games Eastern. And I think we've all experienced this as bettors, right? If you've been doing this for long enough, and I've been betting for over 20 years at this point. I started betting my senior year of college in 2004, betting on sports, most notably, obviously, football. We've all had these moments where you expect the worst to happen, and you know it's going to happen, and it happens exactly like you think it's going to happen. So in the 4 o'clock yesterday, I need a couple things to happen, right? I've got Broncos plus 3 against the Chargers. That's my favorite bet, my biggest bet of the week, is Broncos plus 3 on the road at the Chargers. I've got the over in the Cowboys-Bears game that Femi and I literally talked about 7 days ago. Last Monday, we talked about that. We beat the market by multiple points, which, again, doesn't mean you're going to win, but you feel like you place a good bet, and then you see what happens. I got the over in Cowboys-Bears, and I did not bet the Cardinals-Niners game, but I've got all my Arizona stuff from before the season. I go over the win total, Cardinals to win the NFC West. And We get 38 points. 38 points in the first half of Cowboys-Bears. The Broncos take the lead early in the second half against the Chargers, and they are pummeling Justin Herbert in that game. And I feel like the Broncos are going to win the game. And Arizona-San Francisco is just a brutal football game. A terrible three-hour watch. But late in that game, you know, like the Niners, a holding penalty is called in the end zone, and it's a safety, and Arizona takes a 15-13 lead. And I felt at that moment that Arizona was going to run the clock out and the Cardinals were going to win the game. Like, Nick Bosa's out, and Marvin Harrison, he can't possibly drop more passes than he has. I felt like Arizona was going to win. And as the second half moves on and wanes on in Chicago, you start to get that sinking feeling in your stomach. The same feeling that I experienced, and perhaps you, the listener and viewer, experienced on the opening Thursday of the NFL season with the second half of Cowboys-Eagles, where I think I texted our show chat, might have just been Femi and Tyler because we were talking about Survivor stuff, and I think I wrote to them maybe midway through the third quarter, is this game going to go under? And they both replied, yes. Because that's how this season is gone. Get multiple opportunities with Dallas, one with Dak, and then the last one with Joe Milton. Joe Milton on the final play for Dallas, fourth and goal, throws a pass where I hope people can see the replay. There's an end zone angle that's not like hard to find, like it's on social media, I think, like though that was on TV today, where Milton throws the ball. The ball exits his hand, and he immediately puts his hands on his helmet, like Will Levis. He knows that he threw it directly to a Chicago Bears defender. Like, not a Cowboy inside. Is he colorblind? And the game goes under the total. And as that's happening, Bo Nix is missing a wide-open Cortland Sutton down the field to probably to set up a game-winning field goal. Missed Marvin Mims on two touchdowns in the first half. Like, clear touchdowns. And the Chargers end up winning by three, and my bet pushes. And the Cardinals, of course, lose by one in walk-off fashion. And it's like, you had said to me, like, what's going to happen now in all these games? I would have said, the game's going to go under. Cowboys-Bears are going to go under. The Chargers will win by three or by a touchdown. I guess it could have been worse. They could have lost by four or more. I did push. And the Cardinals will lose on a walk-off field goal. It all happens. And this follows a Saturday where I've got Baylor laying 2.5 against Arizona State. Arizona State wins on a walk-off field goal. And then, like, Auburn. Now, thankfully, I bet 7. I know a lot of people had 6.5. Just, like, 4th and 29, sack in the end zone for a safety, the final margin 7. Like, it's unfair. Like, it really is. So if you've been betting for long enough, you know that you have these moments where you can accurately predict all the bad things that are going to happen, and then they happen. I hit that moment last night where I said, I am sick of this. Ravens week one, brutal. The Eagles Cowboys over, brutal. Cardinals -6.5 against the Panthers, brutal. All brutal. Then I went home because I was watching the games in the office. And I'm looking at week four and the point spreads for week four. And I started to get excited. And I realized something. I'm being a massive bitch. I'm being a huge baby. This kind of stuff happens to everybody. You bet for long enough, and I know I'm not, I never claimed to be the world's best sports bettor. I think that's pretty, I make that pretty apparent and pretty obvious here on the show. I know I'm not the world's best sports bettor. But even the world's best sports bettors, and I've been fortunate enough to be around a lot of really good ones, they all go through streaks like this. This happens. So I am choosing not to get thrown off my game. Because candidly, I feel like I was thrown off my game last week. props, sides, totals. I let it get to me a little bit. I let the losing infiltrate me and get to me. I'm choosing to turn a new leaf this week. And it doesn't mean I'm going to win. It could be more devastation coming up next week. And there were some wins that I had that were really good. Like, it wasn't all losses. I'm not guaranteed to win next week. But my attitude's going to be better. And I needed to be better, honestly, mostly, selfishly, for me. You better, you bet on this Monday. Femi Abebefe joins me. Femi, I know you also had a similar football betting weekend to me.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. And I love the sentiment. Like, our attitudes need to be better because this time last
your
week,
your attitude's
I felt really good.
I think you've I got a great attitude. My attitude's been terrible.
So last week, it might have been one of the shows midweek, might have been this very segment last Monday, but I came out, I was like, hey, I feel really good about the card. I feel good about my bets. I feel really good. This is the week that it's going to turn. And you know what? It didn't. So like how we feel, like we can feel great. We can feel bad. It's all random. And the games have to play out. Like the Philadelphia Eagles game, which for me, as lucky as all get out. Like, I will acknowledge that, and I even tweeted, I'm not going to complain about a bad beat for the next month at least, because I had no business covering that number with Philadelphia. And I laid a good number. I laid 3. I didn't lay 3.5. I was out there living and dying with a 2-point conversion, hoping that they would get that. And when that happened, I was like, bleep the Eagles. I hope they lose. And I was mad when the field goal got blocked. They're like, wow, Philly wins. And all of a sudden, I see Jordan Davis running down the field. I'm like, yes, keep going, big fella. Pick him up, put him down, keep going. And he got me to the window. Now, I will also complain, not from myself. I'm going to complain on the behalf of others who bet New England money line, who also bet Texans money line and bet Denver +3 and Denver money line. Like the New England one, like I know we were Oppo Taco on that game. I just, the 5 turnovers, and it's not just the 5 turnovers, Nick. It's where they happened on the field. Tipped ball intercepted in the end zone. Ramondre Stevenson fumbling into the end zone. Drake May deep in New England or in Pittsburgh territory, sack on first down, fumbles the ball. Oh, looks like Steelers got it again. Like that was the Tomlin dark magic that we all talk about every summer about how this team never goes below 500. That's what I felt like I was watching with that game. I just happened to be on the wrong side of it. I'm not complaining for me. I'm complaining on behalf of everyone else who bet New England. Like that was pretty disgusting. And that was just the 1 o'clock games. Didn't even get to the 4 o'clock window, which you outlined.
Yeah. And the 4 o'clock window, like, I think you had a similar experience to me.
Oh, my God. So the 4 o'clock window, after all that, Houston money line doesn't go well. Patriots money line doesn't go well. I had a chance to break even at the game. All right, let's get the Cowboys-Bears over. Let's get Denver to win +3 in money line. All will be fair in love and war. We're good. And that 30-minute stretch, 2 interceptions in the end zone for Dallas. And Denver with Bo Nix, who, I mean, I don't know. I guess Sean Payton's not texting anybody else about how Bo Nix was hanging out with Drew Brees. Like, I mean, maybe he needs to hang out more. Because I don't know what the hell was that yesterday with the game with Bo Nix. That dude could not hit the broadside of a barn. And it cost
depressing.
Us money. It was very depressing. And they multiple chances to go up 11 in the game. It's 14 to 10. Oh, Chargers just fumbled the ball. We could potentially go up 11. No, settle for the field goal. Whatever, up by a touchdown. It's 17 to 13. Got the ball. Oh, we could potentially go up by 11. No, not able to do it. Like, there's so many opportunities to do it. And for them to not be able to accomplish that and just to push on the game when it felt like Denver should win outside of for Bo Nix just tricking the game off, that was very disgusting. And that was just the bad stuff, the ugly stuff, which I don't even mind, honestly, because like, I would prefer to lose games like this, like Raiders +3 in money line where you lose 41-24 and you know you never have a chance to cover that number. That's great. Titans +6, pick 6 on the first play of the game. Great, that bet's done. Whatever, don't need to pay attention to that one. And Saints +8.5. Which, we start, I texted you guys last Sunday when the numbers just opened. I said, hey, Saints +8.5 if anybody wants to enjoy pain. It wasn't even painful. It was just a big fat L as 3 minutes into the game, blocked punt, punt return, touchdown, game over before I could even settle in for the 4 o'clocks on the East Coast, 1 o'clocks on the West Coast. I was just like, all right, well, I guess that's done. I guess everybody who bet Seattle and Survivor, they get to just cruise on through and head on to week 4. But yeah, it was pretty rough. And college football was much better. I enjoyed that. Guns up, Texas Red Raiders. We absolutely love that, our guys at Texas Tech. But yeah, the NFL, once again, just another kick in the junk, and I guess we'll get back on the horse for week four.
And look, this is it's a long season. We're only three weeks in. But there's, look, it's the gambler's fallacy. It's like roulette, right? It lands red nine times in a row, so now it has to land black. It's like, or it could land it could land zero. Or it could land green. Nothing has to happen. But I do think, I have to believe, that when we get to the ends of these games, and we hit the knife edge, where it can go either way, and who the hell knows what's going to happen, I have to believe that these are going to start going our way. And if they don't, I just might lose my mind. our BetMGM Network teammate, Sam Panayotovich, joins us on the other side.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Good snap. Good hold. The kick is on the way. The kick is good! The kick is good! And Andre Schmidt from 55 to give the Browns a 13-10 win!
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Kevin Kugler with a call yesterday on Fox. As the Cleveland Browns, with one of the more insane comebacks, not even in terms of like overcoming a huge deficit, but that game felt, at least from wins and losses, felt like the Packers had it in the bag the whole time, and then they didn't. As the Browns win, that was the first and only lead they had the entire game, was as time expired, the Browns beat the Green Bay Packers. Joining us right now to talk about that and more, the weekend that was in the world of football betting, is our friend Sam Panayotovich, co-host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon, along with our friend Joe Ostrowski, also does work for Fox Sports, the Bear Bets podcast. Chicken Dinner is his sports betting podcast, and he does You Better You Bets Countdown to kick off with me each and every NFL Sunday morning, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and he loved the Cleveland Browns getting the points yesterday. Sammy, welcome back to the show. What's going on, my friend?
Thank you for the intro. That introduction is enough to make me realize I need to take a nap because I'm tired hearing all that. Also had the Cowboys though yesterday. So let's paint both sides. Femi, what is up with your defense? What is going on?
They stink. They're terrible. they're awful. They're god awful. They're the slump busters. If you're in a slump, go see the Cowboys. You'll be out of it.
They're missing something. I can't quite tell what it is. I don't know what it is about the defense. It's missing something.
Yeah, we'll see it Sunday night.
I was going to say, multiple things. I think DeMarcus Lawrence, I think, would make a huge difference on this defense if he were there. So maybe we could talk about Sam, Cowboys and Packers on Sunday Night Football. But before we get to next week, what is your biggest betting takeaway in either college or NFL from this weekend?
That Shane Steichen finally has the team that he wants. Honestly, that's the case. And you look at BetMGM, they're now minus 300 to make the playoffs or higher, depending on where you shop. For coach of the year, you also have a team that's, I mean, just running the ball at will. Jonathan Taylor favored now to win offensive player of the year, and he's fixed Daniel Jones. So favored to make the playoffs, Steichen favored to win coach of the year, Taylor favored for offensive player. And I know that the schedule hasn't been great, but what's the name of the game in the NFL? Beat bad teams. The Packers couldn't do it. They couldn't do it yesterday. The Colts have not had the toughest schedule, but they are physical, in your face, smash mouth football. And Steichen, I mean, it's very obvious to me. I don't have intel on this, but it's very obvious that he got in somebody's head and said, look, Anthony Richardson is not going to work anymore because we need a quarterback that's going to complete more than 50% of his passes. And Daniel Jones doesn't have to do much. He has to protect the ball and hit open receivers. And he's completing 70% of his passes now. But their physical running game is keeping defenses honest. And then the play action in the middle of the field is wide open. And all Jones is doing is making his reads and hitting the right guy. That division is also horrendous. Look at Houston right now. 0-3. Can't protect the quarterback. Can't block. Can't run block. Can't do anything right. And then you got the Titans in there. What a cute story that is. What a cute little team in Nashville. So really, it's Daniel Jones against Trevor Lawrence for the AFC South. Just the way we all expected, right?
I mean, I'm so glad I added Titans plus six yesterday morning before kickoff. Like, oh, like look at this great number. It's inflated. Pick six right as the game starts. See you later. You're just going to lose money. Let's talk about college football, because college football was much better to me this past Saturday than the NFL was yesterday. What was, in your opinion, the most impactful betting result from the college rings?
Miami's really good. I mean, that's not exactly a hot take. If you look at the AP poll, they're right there near the top. But I think we're finally starting to realize that odds makers are notified and they're well aware of how good Miami is. I mean, they just bludgeon you in the trenches. They got two guys on the offensive line that are going in the first round, maybe. Definitely have one, maybe two. And then on defense, they feel like they have three NFL guys on that defensive line. And I know that it's very popular in the streets to say that Miami can't do anything because Mario can't win big games. Well, they beat Notre Dame. They've pummeled South Florida. Not that that's a huge game. And just erased anything that Florida wanted to do on offense. That's a team that has a very easy schedule. I think 11-1 is extremely possible. I don't want to get crazy and say 12-0. But in terms of offensive and defensive line play, they're the best to me in the country. And that was a pretty impressive result to see how well they played defensively against Florida. Not that Florida's this elite offense, but man, Miami's good. O-line, D-line. I don't know if you guys had money on Oklahoma. Tough. If you had the Auburn side, at least at plus 6.5 to get that safety and land seven. I had a buddy who was in Last Man Standing, which is a one pick per week ATS contest. He had Auburn plus 6.5 and he is out. Oof. And he has to think about that for the rest of the season. Oklahoma looked good. And John Mateer made another play late in a game to rightly deserve his spot atop the list for Heisman favorite. That kid's good. I hope he stays healthy because this schedule gets unbelievably tough for Oklahoma. But that was cool to see that. And then pour one out for my guys in Champaign. I went to school there. Woo, Illinois. Mm. Oh, their fans were getting real chippy too, guys. Real cocky, real confident. Jake Hassan.
Oh, no.
63-10. Hoosiers. Woof.
Sig's got him. He's got him rolling out there in Bloomington, man. Indiana looks legit as they beat the hell out of Illinois this past Saturday. But what about Texas Tech, though? Because this is a team, like, all throughout the summer, we all wanted to figure out what this was going to be with all the money that they poured into the roster, turning that over, $28 million, raiding the portal, getting a bunch of defensive linemen. How good is this team? Because I've been in on them to win the Big 12, but they could they actually compete with the big boys when you look at the national title landscape?
Well, if the quarterback can stay healthy, that's something that has to happen, because he's had like these gruesome bouts with injuries, and you know, he has concussion like symptoms already. So he's on my injury list for this week. Now, we'll see how that goes the rest of the season, but this is a guy who's had multiple injuries in his career in Lubbock, and I hope he can stay on the field, because when he's out there, he's unbelievable. And this was a guy that was 250-1 to win the Heisman in the summer. And that number is nowhere near there. Of course they can't. Money talks, Femi, at this level, especially nowadays with the NIL, and you've talked about all the money that they have going into that program. They're very good. Now, can they win a couple playoff games? Don't know. Defensively, I think they leave a lot to be desired. I think we're not talking enough about the Big Ten, though. I mean, the Big Ten might get five playoff teams this year. Not to divert the conversation in that direction, but I mean, my three highest rated teams are all Big Ten teams: Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon. And in terms of SEC, like, who's the best SEC team right now? Odds makers would tell you it's Texas. I don't think bettors would say it's Texas. I think bettors would say maybe Georgia. Some would maybe hold out hope that it's Alabama, but it's obvious that every Big Ten team on top, those three teams, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, are all much better off, at least right now, as currently constructed, than any team from the SEC.
Well, do you have any early opinions on those two games? I mean, we have Oregon visiting Happy Valley to take on Penn State, Nittany Lions about 3.5-point favorites. You have Bama and Georgia playing at the same time. Like, get your two screens set up, everybody, for this upcoming Saturday. Any early betting thoughts for those two games? Oregon, Penn State, Alabama, Georgia.
I don't think people are going to be excited to lay the points with Penn State. So I naturally gravitate toward the side that people don't want to bet. I mean, Oregon's going to be very trendy, very sexy. Oh, they might be a better team, and I get points. We'll see. I mean, Penn State's showing you nothing and beating nobody. And I don't think that's all by design. I don't think they're trying to sleepwalk through September. But it's hard to get up for Villanova. You know, it's hard to get up for these teams that they've been playing. And I think their physicality is something that Oregon just hasn't seen yet. I mean, Oregon's been tested for sure more than Penn State when you talk about playing Northwestern, when you talk about playing Oregon State. But the physicality that Penn State brings is going to be a much tougher test. I will lay 3 for sure on Penn State, assuming we get there. The early look ahead in the summer was like 5.5, 6. And now we're 3.5, maybe 3. I would be interested in Penn State for sure. The other game, I don't know what to do, man. I don't know what to make of Georgia. I don't think their secondary is good, but I also don't know if Ty Simpson can take advantage of that. So that'll be a watch and learn for me. I can tell you that I will be commuting all weekend for a wedding. Best weekend to have a wedding, huh? What the hell is that?
Oh, is this the Sunday when you're officiating the wedding?
Yes, I'm officiating the wedding Sunday, but I have to travel basically all day Saturday to get to said wedding. I can't wait. Oh, well, we're glad you're all here on this NFL Sunday as we meet these two people. You know, like, oh, good grief. Can you tell I'm excited to travel all weekend and then have to miss our show Sunday to officiate a wedding? Very excited for that. I don't know what to do, though, with Georgia-Bama. That's going to be a tough one. You got a bunch of good games. I mean, you start at 12 noon Eastern and go all the way through. You have a great game in every time slot. That's what it's all about on Saturdays.
You know who else is going to be excited, Sam, about you missing Sunday show? Probably Femi, because Femi might have to do that show with me on Sunday very early his time. So I forgot that was this week. I'm happy you said that Femi, you and I will have a separate conversation about this. You bet on this Monday.
Nick Costos and
Femi. Femi, countdown to kickoff this Sunday, 8 a.m. Pacific time with yours truly. I think that's going to be what happens. Our guest is the great Sam Paniadovich of Bet Sweats here on the BetMGM Network. Sam, if I gave you $100, $500, whatever, and I said you have to bet the winner of the NFC at price, Eagles are plus 350, Packers plus 375, Detroit plays tonight, obviously, against the Ravens. I want to get your take on that game to close. Detroit is 6, the Niners are 8, but Nick Bosa's out for the year. Rams 850, Commanders plus 950, Bucks 10, Vikings 20, so on and so forth. Who would you bet and why at price to win the NFC?
After the Bears, who look very... No, I'm kidding.
I declined to mention Chicago. Also, you can bet Dallas if you want.
No, I'd pass on them. I'd pass on the Saints, too. I always laugh early in the season when you have a team at 500-1 to win a conference. It's very funny. It's been 3 weeks, and the Saints are 500-1. The Bucks are dangerous, guys. They are... And I think they've shown you that they can win with injuries, and they've had to deal with a ton. I was texting with a buddy last week. I was a little nervous about the Bucks because we were talking about Tampa maybe being a survivor leg. And I sent a text to one of my buddies, and I said, I don't know. Baker's concussed, man. He got hit really hard. And his response was, Baker was born concussed. He lives concussed. I thought, okay, fair enough. That's a team at price that speaks to me. I mean, I'd rather bet them at 10 than Green Bay at 375 at BetMGM. My stock is mostly in San Francisco, as we talked about during the summer. They keep finding ways to win, albeit extremely injured at that. And now Bosa, just another list on a long list of guys that are banged up. I'm hopeful that... maybe offensively they get some of these heavy hitters back, including the quarterback, and they can still make a run, and then I can maybe get off it if possible. But given the current market and given the board, I might go Tampa. I was going to try and rage bait everybody and say Minnesota, but I'm not going to go there because people actually listen to this network at a good level, so I'm not going to go there. I like their team. I don't know if McCarthy and Wentz have the ability to take them on a deep run. Are we out on the Ramley? Like, my answer is Bucks. Are we out on the Ramley? Are you guys back in, or are we out? I don't know the answer.
So what I said earlier in the show, Sam, I just want to make sure that we could give me, how about this? Give me like 10 seconds. What's your bet for tonight just to get it in, and then we'll talk about the Ramley.
Yeah, I like the under. I think under is fair. Obviously, you're gonna need to sweat a little bit, but 54 at MGM, that's the highest it's been all week. This number was 50.5 on the open. I just need one stop inside the 20. Maybe like a fourth and goal at the 4. Somebody gets a stop. 54 is a lot. So I'm going to go under tonight.
You need Russell Wilson to play quarterback. He'll throw the ball out of the end zone on that fourth and four. But as far as the Rams are concerned, I said this earlier. I do think, Sam, that they're the best team in the NFC West now, especially with this Bosa injury. And I think that they're a playoff team. I don't trust McVay at the ends of these games. I hated the decision-making in the waning moments in the fourth quarter of the Rams-Eagles game. I just think like the Eagles are always going to beat them when it comes down to it. So I think the Rams are a playoff team if Stafford's healthy, but I would stop short of saying that I think the Rams will win the conference or win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Stafford, obviously, as most quarterbacks are, one hit away from being out for a while, but that's a guy that you have serious issues about, at least in terms of like durability and all that. That's the
are
only
you
reason
out on
I didn't
him?
Bet them. No. I didn't bet anything. I think I would have if I didn't hear all summer that he's not on the field, that he can't throw the football. Like, I probably would have maybe taken a little piece of it, but I have nothing on the Rams.
Femi, you were the captain of the Ramily last year. Mm-hmm. Are you in or out on the Rams?
I'm out. It's a week-to-week deal with them. I don't trust the Stafford back injury. It's one hit away. I can't trust it. In fact, like with this Bosa stuff now, I mean, I was out on Seattle beforehand. Maybe they're the beneficiaries
right?
of the Niners injuries. Like, it feels like they might be the beneficiaries. Like Niners banged up, Cardinals, same old Cardinals, Stafford, it's very flimsy with the back. All of a sudden, here's Sam Darnold potentially going back to the playoffs. Like, I thought that would never happen, but here we are.
Think about this. One last thing. Sorry, Nick. Wherever you go, Don't bring Shane Waldron with you. He's ruining Brian Thomas the way he ruined JSN and Roman Dunze. Be careful.
I can't have this. I can't have it. I need BGJ to catch the damn ball. I will say this here for the first time this week. I am almost certainly going to bet the Arizona Cardinals on Thursday night against the Seahawks. At SP Shoot on Twitter, Bet Sweats weekdays 9 a.m. to noon. Sammy, we appreciate you. Have a great show tomorrow with Joel. We'll catch up with you next week.
See ya.
On the other side, we continue recapping Week 3 NFL Sunday, and we will take a trip to Foxborough with the Steelers and the Patriots.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
The ball is just inside the three. May will fire it. It's picked off. Intercepted by Echols.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Friend of the show, Ian Eagle. On the call yesterday on CBS. Joined us last Thursday on You Better You Bet. Awful announcing writing it up. Barrett Sports Media writing up our interview with Ian Eagle. We always love when Ian Eagle joins us here on You Better You Bet. In this segment, it'll probably carry into next hour on the show. I want to hit everybody with three games. Three games yesterday featuring teams in the AFC. But before we get to that, and we'll start with the Steelers and the Patriots, but we want to remind all our listeners and viewers that BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and same-game parlays. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app, please. Gamble responsibly, and remember, download and subscribe to You Better You Bet in podcast form. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts, and like and subscribe to our YouTube page, youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. And continue, watch everyone watching the show on YouTube, watching the show on Twitch. Tell us your best bet for tonight's Lions-Ravens Monday night game with the reason why you like it. Could be the side, could be a total, could be a prop. Type in YouTube and Twitch your best bet for Monday Night Football tonight with the Lions and the Ravens. That betting market right now at BetMGM holding. The Ravens 4.5-point home favorites. The total remaining 54. Next hour on the show, we'll give you our bets, side total, and props. All the injury information, all the analysis your little heart could ever desire. Next hour here to wrap up the show on You Better You Bet. All right, let's talk the Steelers and the Patriots from yesterday. Pittsburgh wins the game 21-14. And if you bet the Patriots, like Femi did, and Femi talked about this earlier this hour on the show, it feels like a brutal loss. New England outgains the Steelers by a ton. Wins the yards per play battle, and really should have won the game, candidly. And I had a small bet on the Steelers, like not a big bet. I just wanted action on the game. I liked Pittsburgh, you know, the listeners and viewers. I like both these teams this year, but I like the Steelers more. I had a small bet on the Steelers. New England turned the ball over 5 times. And in mind-numbing, soul-crushing fashion. And the dam eventually broke. With Aaron Rodgers hitting stone-cold Calvin Austin for a touchdown to put them up 21-14. And the Steelers would close out the game. So Pittsburgh does win. And improves to 2-1. I think everyone, and I'm acknowledging, the Patriots outplayed them in the game. I think people are taking that result and are now very anti-Pittsburgh as a result. And we'll spin this forward. Ireland this week, Dublin, as the NFL's international series starts this weekend, as the Steelers will play Carson Wentz and the Minnesota Vikings in Dublin. And I am sure that over the course of this week, this game will get brought up. Pittsburgh didn't deserve to win. Only won because the Patriots turned the ball over 5 times. What else will get brought up is that this is the second consecutive year where we have Aaron Rodgers facing the Brian Flores defense in an international game. And last year's, went so bad that it got the Jets head coach fired in Robert Saleh after that game, a loss to the Minnesota Vikings. And Rodgers was not good in that game. Jets had a chance at the end, and Rodgers threw like a couple of mind-numbing interception. And I bet the Jets in that game. I remember. I am here, though, to say this. You can harp on all the negatives yesterday for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can say, well, they won, but they had to get 5 turnovers and barely scraped out a win against a New England Patriots team that is not expected to be very good. You will bring up the number 5 and mean 5 turnovers. I will bring up the number 5, and it will mean 5 sacks of Drake May. 2 from T.J. Watt, who's officially off the schneid. And look, you can say Will Campbell stinks and Morgan Moses got abused, and that can all be true. The Steelers' defense got off the schneid yesterday. Because while the Patriots put the ball on the turf, like there has to be a defense that's forcing these turnovers. T.J. Watt, 2 sacks. Derek Harmon making his NFL debut with the sack. And Pittsburgh wins. At open last night, a Viking Steelers. Minnesota, about a 1-point favorite on the neutral site, 1.5. We are almost at 3. The number at BetMGM is Vikings -2.5, -115. And Carson Wentz gets another start, and the Vikings destroyed the Bengals yesterday. We may not get to that game today, but the Jake Browning experiment does not go well in the first game as a starter in place of Joe Burrow, and Minnesota's defense just destroys Cincinnati, and the Vikings skate to an easy 38-point win, which, by the way, is a crazy stat. It's the worst loss in the history of the Cincinnati Bengals franchise. Pretty wild. So, of course, the Vikings are going to be the hot bet. I would just say this. This iteration of the Steelers offense with Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith is way better equipped to handle Brian Flores than whatever the hell that was last year with Nathaniel Hackett and the New York Jets. Way better equipped to handle him. And this was like the fully realized version of the Arthur Smith offense yesterday. Tons of 13 personnel, 12 personnel, multiple tight ends on the field at all times. I like it for the Pittsburgh Steelers at this point of Aaron Rodgers' career. And I said that all offseason. It's still Carson Wentz on the other side. And it ain't the Cincinnati Bengals defense. I would love to get a 3 and bet the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday in Dublin against the Minnesota Vikings. And as far as the Patriots go, they opened 4.5 against the Carolina Panthers. Panthers shut out the Falcons. I'll get to that game next hour. And just a brutal performance by Michael Penix Jr. I'll just spoil it right now. I have already bet the Patriots for next week against Carolina, laying 4.5. I think Femi may agree. We'll touch on the games that we've already bet for next week, next hour on the show. You better you bet on this Monday. 2 other games in the AFC that we need to discuss. One of which depressed me and one of which made me very happy. The one that depressed me was the Broncos-Chargers game. And Femi and I touched on this game from the betting perspective. We bet Broncos +3. How the hell does it push? Sadly, the answer to that question is because Bo Nix You could tell me that he was on the Chargers payroll yesterday. That after the game, he took off his Broncos jersey, and he was wearing an NWO shirt in powder blue. Bo Nix lost this game yesterday for the Denver Broncos. And I don't say that to fully take away from what Justin Herbert did. He got the crap beaten out of him yesterday by the Broncos defense. And the touchdown that he threw to Keenan Allen at the end of the game, like it's just the tied it at 20. I mean, how many quarterbacks in the history of the league can make that throw? He's sensational. And despite that, if Bo Nix does his job, if Bo Nix plays an average game yesterday, we don't even need him to be good. The Broncos win. He has Marvin Mims in the first half, wide open for a long touchdown. Not just wide open, wide ass open. Overthrows him by centimeters. It's in, it grazes his fingertips. But it's overthrown from Bo Nix, incomplete. He's got Marvin Mims in the end zone later in the game for a touchdown. He's wide ass open in the end zone. It is going to be a touchdown. Overthrows him. And at the end of the game, he's got Courtland Sutton from left to right on your television screen, down the left sideline, wide ass open. And he overthrows him. Now, maybe you'd like to argue that Mims 100% scores on his two plays. Maybe you want to say Sutton doesn't definitely score. I think he does, but maybe you could make that case. Okay, let's say that Sutton catches the ball and gets tackled. They're in field goal range. Let's say the field goal is good. That means that the Broncos have left. Bo Nix, with his throws, has left 14, 17, or 21 points on the board. With his overthrows. Throws that you have to make when you're a quarterback in the National Football League. There is no excuse to not make those throws. Wide ass open receivers. Drop the ball in the bucket. And win the game. And he missed all of them. And I am forced to confront an uncomfortable truth. At least early in the season. Because I loved the Denver Broncos all offseason. And my handicap was mostly based on the defense, which I think the defense is really good and maybe could be a top defense in the league. And Bo Nix doesn't have to be great. He doesn't have to be Drew Brees in New Orleans for Sean Payton. He just has to be like a little better than he was last year when they went to the playoffs and led Buffalo 7-0. They scored a touchdown and they got killed in the game, but still, rookie quarterback on the road in his first postseason start. Shoji's got a little something, man. Can he be a little better than he was? Three games into the year, he's been worse. The Broncos are 1-2. At BetMGM, Denver's postseason price. Yes is minus 125. No is plus 105. And what I'm about to say is coming from me, like one of the world's biggest Denver Broncos guys heading into the year. Now, I didn't think they'd be better than the Chiefs, but over the win total, playoff team this year, and building towards a potential super team in the coming years. I know Bo Nix had a shaky start to his rookie year last year and then turned it around. I don't know that this is that. And I'm not saying he sucks. But those are alarming misses, and it's year two. You need him to make these throws. And he's not. And RJ Harvey looks like he's stuck in the mud. And Sean Payton, like, blew week two against the Colts and took responsibility for bad play calls in week one. And it feels like this is a bad brew right now for the Denver Broncos. If I had to bet this right now, Broncos to make or miss, I hate to say it, I'd take the plus money and bet them to miss. Final hour, power hour coming up on the other side. We'll feature all our bets for tonight with the Lions and the Ravens.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.